Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Shift Network. I'm Lauren, your host for today, and we are in for a beautiful experience with our presentation featuring Alexander John Shaya. Alexander John Shaya is a speaker and author. From his primary work as an anthropologist, psychologist, and spiritual director, he has moved to being a widely sought-after teacher, consultant, and new thought leader in Christian mysticism. Welcome, Alexander John. So grateful to join with you today.
It's a delight to be with you, Lauren, and to be with all the people who are watching.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And for those of us joining, this will be a little taste of Alexander John's upcoming course here at the Shift Network. And Alexander John Shaya's new course will be exploring how to travel the four-path journey that underlies all great spiritual traditions through the lens of Christianity's four gospels, and awaken to a deeper reality that liberates you from fear and cultivates trust for a richer, happier, more purposeful life. Alexander John will share a brief presentation, Breathe Out and Breathe In, the Christ. So I'll pass it to you, Alexander John, to get us started.
I want to say welcome to two different communities who I know are joining us today. And there are two communities that sometimes have not been allowed to live easily together. And I hope that we can begin to make that bridge. One community is the worldwide group, a community of spiritual seekers and those who are in search of the deep mystical texts of wisdom. And the other community is the good-hearted Christian who thinks of the Gospels as their core story and perhaps the sacred story. And I want today to share some understandings in the Christian tradition which have become too narrow in today's way of speaking of them. But the mystical tradition widens out for all of us. And that's this great name, the Christ, or as I would say in my Aramaic tradition, the Messiha, or the translation of that in the Greek tradition, the Christos. Both Messiha and Christos have an outbreath as part of the great name. And that outbreath is a critical piece of understanding the experience that this holy, holy name gives us. So in the Christian tradition, sadly, of the last few hundred years, this great name, the Christ, has been narrowed down to thinking of a reality that began, quote unquote, with Jesus's birth. And nothing could be further from the truth. The Christ, for Christians, is that great overarching reality from the before the first moment of time. I often talk about many years ago doing a long retreat in a monastery and sitting in the library one day reading through some beautiful books on Christian iconography and Christian paintings. I came upon this icon from the 5th century. This is long before the days of cell phones when I could have clicked a picture of it. But this icon just set my heart on fire because in looking at this, I saw how the good heart of Christianity joins the wide world of spiritual mysticism. In this icon, up in the corner, we had what I might think of as God the Father, sort of a puffy face with flying gray hair, and coming out of the mouth were rays. And we can think of this as words, or we can think of these rays as breath. And standing in front was this full-bodied figure of the Christ, and coming out of the Christ were the days of creation. Now, in this one painting, we can understand one of the deepest truths of the Christian tradition, that the Christ is the name for every visible cell of the Holy One in all of the cosmos. Now, I understand that the Christ as this name, the great name for the Christian tradition, is joined by other great names the world over. And perhaps one of the great names today for that is people might think of Buddha consciousness, or might think of the Wuhan, or on and on and on. Every great tradition at its mystical root has its metaphor, its name for this one creation which is seen across every cell of the cosmos. So for me, when I look out at the night sky, or I look out across the day sky, what I see are the visible manifestation of the cells of the Christ. Certainly, there is a mover behind creation, one who designs and orders creation. But when we see the cosmos, we are seeing everything that has come out of that source. And as a Christian, our name for that is the Christ. And I also understand that perhaps today a far better translation of the first line of Genesis is not that, "and God spoke," but something more like, "and the Holy One breathed, and dark and light came to be." And the Holy One breathed, and you and I came to be. So in the Christ, we see this rhythm of everything that comes from the one source. And we can give a name to this rhythm, like breathe out, hold, breathe in, hold, breathe out, hold, breathe in, hold. It's my belief that every cell of this planet, of this galaxy, across the cosmos, is created in this very simple pattern of breath. And that in our out-breath and in our in-breath, we are breathing the one holy source. Or we might even say in a better way, the one holy source is breathing us. Now, as a Christian, my belief is that Jesus, as a human, is a full manifestation of that same reality of the Christ that we see in every cell of the cosmos. And that Jesus, as a human, fully the truth of the cosmos and fully the truth of the human, shows us the journey of transformation that we all make to be our own authentic self in the way that the Holy One has created us. So when I breathe out, and when I hold, and when I breathe in, and I hold, I breathe out, and breathe in, I breathe a pattern that is eternal and now. And that eternal pattern, in my belief, is exactly the thread that early Christian ancestors used to discover the rightful four texts that would be called the gospel. Because they were not looking merely for the correct historical record of Jesus? How could you precisely know that hundreds of years later? They were looking for the eternal record of the Christ, the text that shows the rhythm of out-breath and in-breath. And they knew this rhythm because it was a rhythm that had been told by all the great traditions before us. And I came to know this rhythm very profoundly in the work of Joseph Campbell, who gave me the final piece to understand how and why early Christians chose these four gospel texts and adhered them together. They weren't choosing one, they were choosing four, because these four have the eternal rhythm of growth and transformation that we call the Christ. And while there is tremendous wisdom in the other texts, it's only these four that have the pattern of the breath. And what I will do in this course, I hope, if you allow me to serve you, is to show you this eternal breath that Buddhism knows, obviously, that Judaism knows, obviously, that Hindus know, that shamans know, that the indigenous peoples around the world know. And yes, it is right at the very heart of the Christian tradition. And Jesus is the doorway for us to understand the eternal pattern in which we are made. But that eternal pattern lives in the mystical truth all over the world. So my invitation to Christians is, I want you to rediscover something that has not been spoken in our tradition since the 7th century. That the ancients knew precisely which four texts they were choosing, and it was not to tell the historical story of Jesus. It was to tell the eternal present moment story of the journey of transformation that we all make in the Christ. And for those of other traditions and those of other seekers of mystical truths, I want to add to your phenomenal library one of the world's greatest mystical texts. I want you to widen and deepen through reevaluating and re-understanding and re-experiencing the Christian story, found through texts that we have called by names that were put on them much later, Matthew, Mark, John, and Luke. But these four texts are not individual stories. They form one complete round of the journey of every human, of you and of me, of those who have gone before and those who will come after. And the last piece is, when you know this story, you know the map. And when you have the map, it is much easier for our hearts to rest in a very deep equanimity. For we know that chaos, as we experience today, is a place on the map. And it's not our destination, but it is a place that we must walk through to get to the radiant future that the Holy One, the Christos, has designed for us. Breathe out. Hold. Breathe in. Breathe out. Hold. Breathe in. This is the key to everything.
Beautiful. I feel like I'm in that state right now. Hard to move forward from that. So beautiful. We're really excited about your upcoming course here at the Shift Network, Walk the Mystical Four-Path Journey of Transformation. Our course begins on Tuesday, February 1st. So Alexander John, you've taken us through a bit about what to expect in the upcoming course. I don't know if you have anything else to add before we move into Q&A.
I just briefly referenced Joseph Campbell, who I was so honored to listen and learn from at the University of Notre Dame many, many years ago. He talked about every great story of transformation across the whole world is written in four stages or four steps. And it was that thread that I heard in the early 1970s that 30 years later, after study, research, prayer, meditation, led me to understand how each of the four gospels is one of the four steps in the journey of transformation that we have in the Four Noble Truths of Buddhism, that we have in the great coming out of Egypt story of the Egyptians, that we have in the tremendous myths of the Hindu, that we have in the Bina Bahane of the Navajo, and on and on and on. Everyone knows this journey. I'd be delighted to help you understand that.
Thank you so much. And excited to dive in. But if you're interested in learning more about Alexander John Chaya's new course, please click the link in our post, or you can visit fourpathjourney.com. Again, that's fourpathjourney.com. So we'll go ahead and open up for some questions, and please write in if you have anything you'd like to ask Alexander John. So let's see here. We'll jump right in. So there seems to be so much mistrust between the feminine and the masculine and other opposites in our world right now. Does your work bridge these two?
It's a great question. It's a great insight, whoever wrote that question. My hope is, and I believe that this work shows a way forward. The masculine and the feminine, if we can move away from biology and take them back to, they are energies, and they are seeming opposites. But what this four-path journey teaches us is there's a place on the journey where opposites must appear taut and strained with each other, and that we must find that way to honor the tension and allow something new to be born from that tension. And I believe that that's really where we are culturally and planetary-wide today. We are with these two energies. We are struggling to find a way forward. And actually what we need to do is we need to relax in to the divine feminine. We need to relax into the divine masculine. We need to understand that there's an inherent tension between these two great energies, which is not to be resolved, but if held in deep respect, something from beyond us will arrive. And my sincere hope is that in this century, we can find something that's rarely been found in human history, and that is neither a matriarchy nor a patriarchy, but a moment where the deep feminine and the deep masculine form a new partnership.
Thank you for that. And another question is, my experience of Christianity is that it has been judgmental, patriarchal, and harmed many people. Can you speak to this?
Yes. One of the things, people often look at me, and I totally understand this, they look at me and they think, there's another white guy. I am first generation Lebanese, born in the U.S. South. I experienced tremendous amount of racism against me as a child. At the age of 7, I stood outside of my grandmother's house after it had been firebombed by the KKK because of being Lebanese and because of being Catholic. Not only that, but I'm also what I want to say is I'm a gay man, but the issue is that being Lebanese, being Catholic, being gay, in all of these ways, I could say I feel like I've been an outsider to Christianity until I come to understand the beauty of the early Christian tradition, which we are just now rediscovering, is about each of us learning that we must be an authentic self. Now, are there going to be people in Christianity, and there are going to be people outside of Christianity who have very hurtful judgments, who are going to say to me, you are not a truth, you are against truth? Yes. But the four-path journey on the Gospels and the four-path journey in all the great traditions teaches us how to rest in a deep authenticity and to bow respectful to those who disagree and keep moving. Their fear must never allow a great tradition to be shackled. I understand. I have heard the harsh judgments from friends and neighbors, from people in my family, from places that I've gone to teach in the world. I know in my body the harm that that type of Christianity has created. I'm here to say there's a more radiant, or more holy, a more whole Christianity. Let me, if you will, open that door for you.
Thank you so much. And Alexander John, what is your view of the Gnostic Gospels, and why aren't they in the Bible?
Great question. As a student of mysticism, I have loved my time reading the Gnostic texts and hearing the truth of them. I don't absolutely know. I don't think anybody can absolutely know what was in the mind and heart of those who made the decisions. Here's my best guess. When you come to understand, I think, and I can show you, if I had a lot more time, I can show you the steps that the early Christian church went through in discerning the pattern of transformation that they wanted to help people walk. It was the pattern of transformation that led them, in my belief, rightly to choose these four texts have the complete journey in them, in the way that Joseph Campbell speaks about the great journey of transformation must be told in four steps. The other texts that were not chosen, I am certain, have beautiful truth in them. I'm certain that they have grace in them. I'm also fairly certain they do not give us the story of transformation as a sequential journey that we move through over and over and over again in our life. So if I'm right that the early ones were looking to give us the texts that tell us the journey, then I have a credible proposition about why the Gnostic texts, which have wisdom but read more like an anthology rather than telling us step by step the inner journey we're on as we make ongoing transformation. I can fit the Gnostic texts' wisdom into the four. The four Gospels tell me where that piece of Gnostic wisdom fits. But when I read the Gnostic texts, it's all beautiful. It's likely all true. It's greatly grace-filled. Doesn't have the map.
And another question was, what will this course do for my life and my relationships? What's your hope for me in taking this course?
There is, in my experience, there is a reality. And that reality is unshakable. I call that reality the Christ. I speak of that reality as an out-breath and an in-breath. And that out-breath and that in-breath have a map to them, a very simple design. When you know the map and when you practice it, the anxiety and the chaos of today fade away. You know that there's a moment in the four paths which is filled with anxiety and chaos and tension, just as we're experiencing today. You know how we got here. And you also know the practices that are going to lead us from that place to fresh union and a more golden, radiant future. So knowing this map, letting me open the door for you for this map, can ultimately give you a security and an equanimity to live in this moment without regard for the apocalyptic and cataclysmic voices that are out there of doom. The Holy One is still breathing us, and that will continue.
Alexander Jian, I want to thank you so much for all that you've shared with us today in such a short time, all this beautiful wisdom. And this has been wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lauren. Thank you for your just warm heart. It's been so beautiful just to look into your eyes.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So again, if you're interested in learning more about Alexander Jian's course, Walk the Mystical Four-Path Journey of Transformation, please do click on the link in our post or visit fourpathjourney.com. Again, that's four, pathjourney.com. And you can find all of the details here. Alexander Jian, do you have any final words for those of us that have joined you here today?
I wish you to know peace. I do not wish you, the way that I say this today is I want people to move beyond hope. There is something beyond hope. It is a knowing. When you know the foundation of the cosmos, you can live with greater equanimity. And I wish you that.
Thank you again. Thank you. Thank you, Alexander Jian. It's been such a pleasure to be with you here today and tap into this incredible path. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. On behalf of the Shift Network, I wish you well. I look forward to seeing you soon. Join us in the course, and we can move beyond hope together. Thank you so much, everyone.